Hey Veeam Community Podcast listeners, it's on. VeeamON 2015 has been announced and will be returning to Las Vegas. VeeamON 2015 will be held October 26th through the 29th at the Aria Resort Hotel and Casino. Like last year, the Veeam CE course will be offered at a discount, but this year it will be held before the event. VeeamON is the event dedicated to data center availability, and this year's event will be even bigger and better than before. You don't want to miss it. Want to find out more? Check out go.veeam.com/veeamon and pre-register. That way you'll be the first to know when early bird pricing is available and stay up to date on all the latest for VeeamON 2015. Also be sure to like the VeeamON Facebook page. We'll see you in Vegas.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Clint Wyckoff. This is episode number 110. And here on the Veeam Podcast, we're actually starting something a little bit different, a little bit of a spotlight series focusing on our Veeam Vanguards. And today our special guest is Craig Dalrymple. Craig, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves to everybody?
Hi, Clint. Thanks for having me. As Clint said, my name's Craig Dalrymple. I'm a senior systems engineer for BrightSolid over in Dundee in Scotland. Been working in IT for 20 plus years. Started off as a lowly field engineer, working on peripherals, printers, that kind of thing. Worked my way up through systems administrator, and then a virtual systems administrator, and finally a senior system engineer for BrightSolid over here.
That's great. So as a senior systems engineer, are you more on the kind of the architecture pre-sale side of things, or are you actually implementing things for your customers?
We do a little bit of both. I tend to prefer the hands-on approach. I'm an engineer by nature. I like to build things and break things and then fix them again kind of thing. So I do some architecture. The nature of the job is that we have to do that sometimes, but predominantly it's hands-on. Delivering the projects, delivering the products.
Great. Well, as I mentioned, you know, the focus of kind of this episode of the Veeam Community Podcast is around the Veeam Vanguard program, you know, and spotlighting yourself, Craig. So for those folks that might not necessarily be too familiar with the Veeam Vanguard program, it's new to us here at Veeam, and kind of the product strategy team got together and we wanted to create a program that really allowed us to select individuals that really represent the Veeam brand to the highest level in all different ways of technology and communities that we engage, whether it be LinkedIn or, you know, Twitter, Facebook, active in the blogging community. And these individuals are really chosen for their acumen, their engagement, and really the way that they engage in their activities, both online and offline as well. And, you know, so Craig is one of the original 31 inaugural members of the Veeam Vanguard program. So, you know, Craig, why don't you give us a little bit, you know, how you feel about the Veeam Vanguard program and really how you think that, you know, you've taken your career to the next level to get you to kind of where you're at today.
Yeah, I have to say being part of, it's a huge honor to be part of the inaugural Veeam Guard program. It's just when you see the other people who are on the list, you know, there's guys that I follow on Twitter, look up to, you know, Christian Moan and Nick Farnell, Anthony Spiter. There's guys, you know, it's just a huge, huge, huge honor. I can tell you the story about how it came about with Rick. Rick Vanover, beginning of June this year, sent me a little direct message on Twitter to say, hey, what's your email address? I gave him my email address. He replied with, cool, something good coming your way, which really got me curious. And I kept bugging Rick for weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, what is this? What is this? Rick would never tell me. And then one day the email dropped. We'd like to invite you to the inaugural Veeam Vanguard program. And it was, I was dumbfounded when I received it. Like I say, there's guys in there that I look up to. And for Veeam to consider me as an inaugural Vanguard is such a huge honor.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a worldwide program. What, you're the only Vanguard in Scotland, correct?
That's correct, yeah. There's only three of us in the UK, and myself in Scotland, I'm the only Vanguard, yeah.
So, but like you said, you know, it's definitely a worldwide program. I mean, you know, we've got folks here in the States and England and Spain, And pretty much all over the world. And like I said, there's only 31 of them. You know, Germany, Karsten, Chris, like you said, Christian Moore, Dave Kowola up in Canada is a great Veeam Vanguard. And kind of the focus of this, like I said, is going to be spotlighting individual Vanguards. And, you know, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you, Craig, was your blog. Could you maybe give us a little bit of background insight, how you got started blogging, you know, really?
Sure. So it goes back to early on in my career, when I just first got into sort of like social media and Twitter, following guys, you know, from a VMware perspective, my background is VMware, so guys like Frank Denneman, Duncan Eppen, Cormac Hogan, Mike Laverick, these kind of guys that I'd seen on Twitter, and they were putting posts out, and I thought, you know, they're putting out really informative blog posts, and some of the blog posts were similar to things that I was experiencing. And I thought, well, why don't I share that kind of experience with people? You know, initially it was just my own sort of technical archive of solutions or problems I'd come across and worked around, and just kept them there for reference. And then, as you see, the community, the power of the community sharing, so getting that out there in the community, I thought, well, why don't I start putting mine out there? So put a little blog together, a couple of little posts, and if it helps one person, I'm a happy man. That's the purpose of the blog.
Yeah, it's a great place. You know, my take on blogging is, like you said, if you can help one person, it makes it 100% worth the time and effort. And if somebody else comes down the line and potentially needs to grab some snippets of information that you might have insight into, that makes it even better. But I'm looking here at your blog. I have it up in front of me. It's www.cragdoo.co.uk. And I will include links to everything that we talk about today in the podcast notes. But Craig, give us a little bit of insight. What's Cragdoo?
Cragdoo harks back to school. First name's Craig. A friend one day came out of the blue with Cragdoo. And that was it. You know, it's like it's high school, you know, group of friends. Nickname, and it's stuck ever since. So it's just a variation of Craig.
A variation of Craig. Craig Dew, huh? Did I say that right?
That's right. That's perfect. you're going to try a Scottish accent in Auckland.
Well, yeah, I got to work on that. Maybe you can help me with that at VeeamON.
Certainly will. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, so you'll be coming to VeeamON as part of the Vanguard program. All of the participants get complimentary passes to VeeamON. This is your first time coming to the States, right?
It is, certainly is, first time in the States. Really excited about this.
So you're pretty excited.
Yeah, very, very excited. Speaking to one of the other Vanguards, Nick Farnell, he attended last year, VeeamON, and he just talked highly about the sessions, the content, the networking, just everything was just fantastic. And obviously, it's in Vegas. What's not to like?
Yeah, so this year it's actually at the Aria, which is going to take it even to the next level. And much like, you know, Veeam has very, very great parties that we throw out at VMworld and Old Tech Ed Ignite. We typically have pretty large parties, and VeeamON definitely will not disappoint. Last year, we rented out, you know, one of the best nightclubs in Vegas, and I had it for the entire evening. So we'll look forward to seeing you at the party too, Craig.
You can count on it.
You know, it's great from a Veeam perspective, and also from a customer and partner perspective as well, you know, to get everybody together for the availability event that we've created solely around, you know, true availability for the modern data center, right? And that being VeeamON.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know, interact and meet and chat with, you know, the folks of like Gostev and Vitaly and Vladimir Arieman, a lot of the folks that you see on the Veeam forums on a daily basis, and you get to actually, you know, interact and talk with them and share thoughts, attend breakout sessions.
That's probably one of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to is meeting the guys, like you say, that are named on the forums or on Twitter, but actually getting to meet them, because the guys are very active. That's what I quite like about social media, and in particular Veeam. Been very active, you know, Gostev on the forums, on Twitter, Rick Vanover, Mike Bressler, Doug Hayes, I mean, all very active, interacting, willing to answer your questions, willing to interact, have a bit of a laugh, a joke. Yeah, it's excellent, really good.
And it just so happens, you mentioned a couple of the folks there, so, you know, Mike, Luca, by the way, I was chatting with Luca this morning and he said hello.
Yeah, I was watching one of Luca's sessions from VeeamON last year, just this afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really, about the multi-tenancy enterprise manager. So, yeah, Luke is a good guy. Good content.
Luka definitely has the service provider background. But all those guys, Doug Hazelman, Rick, we're all on the product strategy team that's focused around community engagement and blogging and white papers and Twitter. Craig, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you got a DM, a direct message from Rick about joining the Vanguard program, but you didn't know it was the Vanguard program at the time.
No.
So you're pretty active on Twitter?
Yeah. I usually keep abreast most days. Just keeping up to date. It's quite hard with the amount of information that's flowing through there. So it's trying to keep up. Almost a full-time job sometimes, but you just got to go with the flow sometimes and just accept that there's content you're going to miss and there's going to be content that you need to come back at a later date. And you get tools for that. I think we mentioned TweetDeck before, and yep. I use a product called Pocket, and there's different tools there to help you come back later. And that's what I like about Twitter. It's snippets of information with links to other articles that you can come back to, read at your leisure just to see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally spend an entire day browsing Twitter and reading technical archives from, like you said earlier, the likes of, the Cormacs, the Duncans, the Franks, and even on the Microsoft side of the fence, if you were to follow some of those folks as well, like the Simon Perrymans, there's so much information out there. But, if I follow your feed here, Craig, it looks like you respond and you try to help out folks too.
Yeah. I always like to. I think the phrase gets used a lot. It's pay back, pay forward. Sorry, pay it back, pay it forward. There's going to be times where I'm going to have to reach out to maybe like Frank Benjamin or Mike Laverick or Anthony Spisteri, stuff, guys like that. You reach out to them and they will answer you. So it's only courteous to say that you reply back to them or help other people.
Right. But I mean, you don't naturally just get to the level of where you feel comfortably replying to folks. I mean, you had to. How did you get your start in social media, in Twitter,
Okay. So I think everybody had the same kind of initial interaction with Twitter, which was like following the famous people, the celebrities, checking out what they were doing, where they were going this day, what did they have for breakfast, what they got for manicures, that kind of thing. And then I kind of got thinking, well, there's got to be a more technical angle on this. So you start following one or two kind of guys that maybe you follow on forum posts or blog posts, and you see Twitter handles at the bottom of that. You start following them, and then they interact and speak with other people, and you start thinking, well, they're nice and that and that. And it builds and builds and builds and builds from that.
And then eventually you have your own little social network. So whenever you go to these events like VMworld or Ignite or System Center Universe, which is actually next week in Basel, you've got a network of folks that you can look forward to go and meet, because it's not very often that you get all these forethought leaders in the virtualization and technology space in one location at a time. So you really, whenever you're at these events and you've got this network of connections, you definitely want to try to maximize that.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, the funny thing is, Nick Furnell, who's another Vanguard, I knew before the Vanguard program. We meet at the UK VMUG, VMware user group, down in Birmingham every year. And about 2 or 3 years ago, we met. We have a pint, and every year we meet up. We have a few pints. I buy Nick breakfast. I need to ask him about that in Vegas. And then you start extending the network. So there's friends that he knows or techies that he knows. And it's a great social circle once you get together.
For sure. So, you mentioned a little bit earlier that, you work for BrightSolid.
That's right, yeah. We own currently a Tier 3 data center over here in Dundee. We're just in the process of building another Tier 3 data center up in Aberdeen for the oil and gas sector. So looking forward to that. That's probably my next big project. I've got a short-term project, which is another Veeam replication job. And at the back of that, we get the data center ready for launch on 1st of October.
Awesome. So, how large are these data centers you guys are building out?
So the data center we have in Dundee has two data halls, and there's about 150 racks in each data hall, and the Aberdeen data center is going to hold 400 racks.
Wow. So, I mean, you've got a true enterprise data center operation where you're offering disaster recovery as a service for your customers?
Sure. We just launched Veeam Cloud Connect last week. I built that, and we're running that out of Dundee right now. When Aberdeen comes online, we'll be putting an instance of Cloud Connect in there.
Cool. So not only DR as a service, what other service offerings from an infrastructure perspective do you offer your customers?
Okay, so we offer cloud platforms. So we have a VMware cloud and a Hyper-V cloud. We offer managed service, predominantly managed service provider is our bread and butter. And we provide lease lines, network connectivity, and we can do hosted applications as well. A whole range of things.
And you give your customers direct access to the host level operation. So, you know, if I had, you know, my Contoso company that I wanted to potentially host in one of your data centers, would you give me direct access to the Hyper-V? Is it dedicated, or do you kind of use a pooled shared model?
We tend to do dedicated. Most of them are what we call private cloud. It's a dedicated infrastructure if the customer requires that. But we also have shared platforms on VMware and Hyper-V where customers have console access onto their individual server.
Right. That's cool. And from an adoption perspective, I mean, do you see your customers, do they typically come to you seeking out these types of services so that they can have, you know, are they looking to operate in a truly hybrid where they've got on-premises workloads and then they've also got off-premises workloads running in your data center? Or are they looking to completely get out of the data center business altogether and 100% run all of their workloads in your data center?
We're seeing a good mix of both, which is good for us. We can certainly cater for both, but there is a slight tendency towards all with us. As you say, that they're moving away from their own data centers or their own on-premises infrastructures and hosting more on the cloud with us.
Right. So, I mean, traditionally, you know, organizations have their own brick and mortar, they've got their own data center, but there's costs, as heating, cooling, power costs associated with all that. You know, that's where the advent of, you know, like your Azures and your vCloud Airs and your Amazon Web Services and, you know, your individual regional service providers, much like BrightSolid, you know, they can use that as an opportunity to grow their book of business, if you will, right, from a service provider perspective. And, you know, I'm curious, within your customer base, what percent would you say have adopted or running workloads with you guys versus not? Or, you know, what are you seeing from an enterprise perspective?
Enterprise perspective. It's the shift now towards moving away from their on-premises into us running different workloads, everything from web servers up to DBs to full application stacks hosted within us. So it's drips and drabs. One day, that's just the great thing about working here is that no 2 days are similar. You know, one day you could be working with a single web server customer up to a full infrastructure for a local health authority. And that's the great thing about working here.
Yeah, it's definitely a dynamic environment, just like running your own enterprise infrastructure today. I can tell you whenever I came from that side of the fence before I joined Veeam a few years back, you know, much like you said, no 2 days were ever the same. And it was, you know, what fire am I going to have to put out today? And what am I going to have to go and kind of manage and deal with? You know, so it's definitely a different dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the other things, so you mentioned that you run both VMware environments as well as Hyper-V.
Correct, yeah.
You know, what version, I'm curious, what version of Hyper-V? You run a Windows Server 2012, 2012 R2?
We have 2012 R2. We also have, 2012 R2, if I think about it.
That's the gold image?
That's the gold image, yeah, 2012 R2.
You know, what percentage of your customers is split between VMware and Hyper-V?
I would say it's maybe a 60-40 split in VMware's favor, but Hyper-V's coming back quite strong. It's quite heartening to see some of the features that Hyper-V and Microsoft are coming out, you know, chasing up the tail of VMware. It's good. It's good for Microsoft and good for VMware to keep each other. It's good watching them vie for that position.
Yeah, competition is definitely healthy. From your perspective, why do you think folks are starting to make the shift? And obviously the purpose of this podcast is to kind of just inform folks of what's out there and not, you know, necessarily say one is better than the other, yeah, unless that's what you think. But I'm just curious, from your perspective, what are you, why do you think folks are making the shift?
That's a good question. Why are they making that shift? I think maybe it's a comfort thing. You know, people are comfortable using Windows going forward, so it's that comfort blanket that, you know, their workload's running on a workload that they're already on a system they're already familiar with. I think that's where we're seeing it. And then licensing costs, it's a bit easier and a bit more cost effective for the Hyper-V license.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is 100% my opinion now. I think the cost piece is a large part of it, but definitely traditionally, you know, if you kind of look back on the adoption rate of, you know, Windows Server Hyper-V, EMEA, UK, Europe, that region that you're in over there, Craig, has been very much so faster to adopt new technologies from Microsoft than here in the States than what we typically see.
Mm.
So that's definitely a different dynamic though. But kind of shifting and pivoting back to the social media bit, you know, we were talking a few minutes ago about Twitter and how you got engaged in Twitter, and you kind of started out as an early, what I call a lurker, and you know, you just watching and looking and feeling around to see what's out there before you actually start engaging. You know, how would you recommend folks to kind of get started dabbling in Twitter, and you know, from a mentoring perspective, what's your advice?
Thanks. That's good. That's a good question. Let me think. I'll give you a story. That's probably the best way I can describe it. One of my fellow engineers on site here came to me one time and said, I don't quite get this whole Twitter thing. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, how can it benefit me in my job? So my advice was to, at that time he was active on SCOM, he was doing a SCOM installation and he was reading up a lot of articles. And I said to him, why don't you take a couple of those guys that are writing these articles that you're reading, follow them on Twitter, and then just build it from there. You know, see who they're talking to, who's talking to them, and build it from there. So he went away, he picked maybe two or three guys from a list of 10 guys he'd heard of, and he came back and about a week or so later and said, yeah, I get it. It's really good, for getting information quick, getting responses, getting information, pinging ideas, bouncing ideas off people. So that would be my thing. Is just pick an area that you're interested in, and then just try and find a couple of experts, follow them on Twitter. As you say, a long time lurker, lurk in the background, see how the feet are going, what's being said, who's talking, who's interacting, and then just start slowly, just trying to jump in. I don't want to say jump in, but introduce yourself into conversations. You know, they're talking about something you've experienced of, try and put something into it and then just feeding it from there.
So for my Twitter experience, I use an application. It's a web application called TweetDeck. It'll include in the podcast notes, but it allows you to create separate search panels for different, you know, mentions or Twitter handles or search feeds, so that you can customize your experience based on, you know, do I want to look at anything that has the word Azure in it, or do I want to look at anything that has the word Hyper-V, or do I want to look at anything that has the word or the search string in it? You know, it's very easy to set that up. But one of my favorite things to do, though, so if I follow, you know, Craig on Twitter, I can then go into Craig's profile and I can actually see who Craig follows. And then that allows me to see, okay, so I like Craig and I know Craig puts out good content. That must mean that the folks that he follows put out good content as well. It's, you know, so that's an easy way to build your network. And oftentimes, you know, you'll start following people and then they'll reply back, hey, thanks for the follow. Is there anything that I can do to help you with your, you know, XYZ, you know, kind of topic that person or that vendor or whatever focuses on. So that's one of my favorite things, and I consider that kind of a little Clint best practice.
Top tip there.
But so how do you consume Twitter, Craig?
I use an app from the phone. I have a Windows phone, which is MC Tweets. And then I couple that with my application Pocket, which is it's an app on the phone. I can just scroll through my Twitter tweets, find a link or an article that I like, save for later, and it saves it up to the web-based console. And I can come in first thing in the morning to work, sit down, go back through the articles, think that's a good one, and share that. We have an in-house social media platform called Mango, and I can then feed that into we have different groups. We have a VMware group, we have a Veeam group, we have a storage group, we have, and then feed the articles into that, share it on. One of our company's core values is sharing the knowledge is the real power, and that's what, that, so I do it at work and online on social media, and that's what I'm doing, sharing the power is the real knowledge. Is it sharing the power? Yeah, sorry. Sharing the knowledge is the real power.
So one of the other programs that I actually use, it's called IFTT, IFTTT, and it allows you to, you know, if I post something on Twitter, it'll automatically post to my Instagram and automatically post to my Facebook. So you can create separate recipes that are all connected together that will allow your social medias to kind of chat with each other, if you will. So you only have to post and consume things in a certain way. That's another program that I use. And again, we'll include all this stuff in the podcast notes at the end for you guys to reference. But yeah, I mean, so kind of from a Veeam Vanguard program, Craig, you know, I see on your blog here that you've got a couple of different posts that you have, you know, talking about the Vanguard program. I asked you a little bit earlier, you know, and you expressed your interest and your excitement. Is there any kind of closing or follow-up that you wanted to throw out there in regards to that?
It's like I say, it's a huge honor. I'm really excited to see where it goes. Speaking to the couple of other guys in the Vanguard forums, it's an exciting journey ahead. I just can't wait to see where it takes us.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely, you know, being kind of on the know, we definitely have some great things planned for you guys. So for those folks that, you know, are interested in learning more about the Vanguard program, potentially being a Veeam Vanguard in the future, you know, be sure to follow us on Twitter. The official Veeam Vanguard account is at Veeam Vanguard.